Everyday Living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. When we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust.
And God said, that's what this program is all about. Good morning. Welcome, folks, to God's Point of View. WSIP 98.9 FM. You can also tune us in on Facebook, God's Point of View. Facebook is up and running this morning, thanks to Scott. Appreciate it, Scott, taking care of these technical matters. And you can give us a call. We try to make every possible device available to you. Radio, Facebook, you can listen online, you can watch online, you can pick up the phone and give us a call. 789-0318. That's the line that'll get us this morning. And we encourage you to call if you have a question, a comment, something that you've wondered about, or maybe something that's bothering you. You're not sure. We believe the Bible has an answer, and we will give you that answer based on what we believe the Bible says. Now, what we believe the Bible says may not correspond with what WSIP believes, and so what we talk about on the show is not necessarily the opinion of the radio station. And then you can also call me. I'd like for you to call me after the show if you'd like to talk about something we've talked about or something you didn't get to talk about. You can reach me out of the area, 606-367-0137. In the area, of course, just drop the area codes 367-0137, and I'll be happy to get back with you. So if my phone rings, I've got it muted this morning. We've changed the arrangement just a little bit here. Maybe you could let us know how you're feeling about that. Geraldine Spence, good sister, watching this morning. Others watching. Scott Ratliff watching. A lot of folks watching. And if I don't mention your name, please forgive me, because I'll get involved here in a moment in giving some answers and talking about some things that we believe will interest you. Again, 789-0318. Feel free to give us a call here on God's Point of View. We mentioned that we do take email questions, and we have one this morning. That email address is godspointofview@yahoo.com, and let me go to the email now. Here's the question. Can you talk about Matthew 24:3-14? In that section, the querist, the emailer, says that's a warning about trouble. And they're exactly right. That is a warning about trouble. Chapter 14 says, or rather verse 14 says in Matthew 24, when the good news about the kingdom has been preached all over the world and told to all nations, the end will come. So the question is, what is Jesus actually talking about when he talks about when the good news about the kingdom has been preached in all nations, then the end will come? Let's look at that. That's verse 14. And this gospel, another translation says, and this gospel shall be preached in the whole world for a testimony unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This passage is talking about the success, if we could say it that way, the success of God. In spite of all of the fears within and all of the foes without that we experience from day to day, Jesus affirms us and reassures us that His Word is going to prevail. The Word of God will be preached in the whole world, and then the end will come. This is what's known as dual fulfillment. Many times in Scripture, especially a prophecy, will contain a dual fulfillment. We'll look at some of that in just a few moments. But let's set the context before we go further. The disciples are with Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, and they've just left the temple. Let's pick up the reading and read a few verses to set the context. Matthew 24, verse 1. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came unto him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things? He asked. I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? End of the age. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, earthquakes, various places, and all these are the beginning of birth pains. So Jesus is telling his disciples, these are the things you need to be watching for. There's going to be famines, there's going to be pestilences, there's going to be people coming in my, saying that they are coming in my name, saying that they are the Christ. Nation's going to rise against nation. Kingdom's going to rise against kingdom. He says, you're even going to be handed, verse 9, over to be persecuted, put to death. You'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Then verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom, the gospel, of course, evangelion, the gospel, the good news, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried and rose again the third day, and that all who will accept him and believe his word, obey his commands, can be saved from their sins. This gospel of the kingdom, that's why it's good news, folks, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and the end will come. Now, I thought about going into some discussion about this temple, but that would take too much time. Let me just say this. Jesus was prophesying of the end of Judaism as they knew it. Judaism had been around 1,500 years, the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. The disciples were raised in it. They all believed it. And Jesus said it's going to come to an end. Scott, I'm going to have to do my Bill Barker impersonation. My throat's getting dry. And so Jesus is telling them this is what's going to happen. And here's what's going to happen to this temple that you're so in awe of. It's going to be torn down. Not one stone will be left. These stones were huge, something like 60 feet in height and 5 feet in width, and they were huge, and they had gold in them, interlaced with gold. And Titus, when he destroyed the city of Jerusalem in A.D. 70, destroyed the temple in A.D. 70, this prophecy was fulfilled. Jesus said this about 33 A.D., just before he went to the cross. So by A.D. 70, this actually took place. But there's a dual prophecy here. The first one was talking about the end of the temple and the end of Judaism as they understood it. Actually, they ask three questions, and he answers all three. They said, in verse 3, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came. Now watch these questions. Tell us, they said. Number one, when will this happen? That's one question. What will be the sign of your coming? That's another question. And of the end of the age. And Jesus is answering all three of those questions in this prophecy. Again, we can really get into the weeds of this, but we want to focus on the question. The question is, what about the good news? What about the kingdom? When it's been preached all over the world to all nations, then the end will come. Dual fulfillment. Remember, I mentioned that a moment ago. Dual prophecy. Here's the first. The first fulfillment occurred in the proclamation of the gospel to the whole world in that time, in that period of time. You see, the ultimate fulfillment of the proclamation of the truths of God were going to go to all nations of the earth, that is, the planet Earth. The first fulfillment actually occurred and was witnessed by the Apostle Paul. Listen to Philippians, or rather Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. The kings and the Gentiles and the children of Israel, Paul declared that, now get this, the gospel which ye heard and which was preached in all creation under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister. So Paul says this gospel has been preached already in all creation under heaven. And so this phenomenon, that was my phone there, Scott, ringing on my cellular device. And we've changed positions on it. That Timotheus was here, we'd blame it on him. We can blame it on him anyway. Let's blame it on the old boy. This is our first show without Timotheus. If you're listening, Timotheus, we miss you, brother, and wish you well. But we've changed the setting just a little bit, and I thought the sound was coming from over there, but it actually was coming from over here through my headphones. Back to the gospel being preached to all nations. Paul says it's already been done. It's already taken place. In his time, the gospel was preached. But the same phenomenon, the same occurrence of preaching the gospel to the whole world will occur before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the end of the world. Matthew 28:20, you might remember Jesus said, "And lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the age," or the end of the world. And so the second fulfillment of it will be actually at that time. And Peter talks about this, if you'd like to make a note of it, 2 Peter 3, verses 1 through 8, when he talks about the end and how the Lord will destroy the earth, this time by fire. So this is a wonderful prophecy, and it has taken place in Paul's day, and it will take place again just before the end, just before when the Lord returns. Think about the prophecy. Think about the man who made the prophecy. Think about Jesus. Jesus gave this gospel. He was a man who had absolutely no worldly advantage of any kind. He had no power, worldly power. He had no prestige. Now think about it. He never wrote a book. He owned no property. He was rejected by the powerful leaders of the nation. He never traveled more than 200 miles away from home. The chosen followers of Jesus were humble men. They were obscure men. Jesus himself was born in a stable. And of course, lastly, humiliated and crucified between two thieves. That's the gospel of that man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, for 33 years, Jesus lived on this earth. He preached the gospel, the good news, and he said it's going to go to the whole world. Now, you know, it's been over 2,000 years, and that gospel is still being proclaimed. There's no human explanation for that. Only God, through his Son Jesus Christ, preaching the good news to save fallen man. I was listening to the radio this morning, actually a podcast by Albert Mohler. And Albert Mohler was talking about the recent abdication, I guess would be the right word, of the Emperor of Japan. Now, he turned it over to his son. And his father, who was the infamous emperor during the Second World War, turned it over to him. And the ending of Second World War was amazing. When MacArthur stood and received the emperor, Hito, I believe his name is, somebody correct me if that's not right, received him, his surrender, and the surrender of the nation of Japan. Shintoism is their religion. Shintoism, they viewed this emperor as a god. And his son, as a type of God, and now his grandson, the new emperor, is also viewed as a priest of God. Japan's very secular, but they do still hold on to that tradition, Shintoism. This gospel has been preached all over the world, even to those nations like Japan and China and all of those places. And many of God's people are being persecuted there. The underground church is being persecuted in China and no doubt in other places of the world. Why? So that this gospel will be preached to the whole world. Even folks in secular news items, you'll find theological concerns. So it was this morning on reading that about, listening to that about Japan. And so it is today. You're worshiping somebody. Did you know that? You're worshiping something. I don't know what it might be with you. You say, I don't worship anything. Well, that's really not true. You do worship something. You may be an alcoholic. Well, that's what you're worshiping. That's your idol. If you're drinking and you do anything for a drink, then that's your God. If you're a gambler and you would sell your baby's shoes to buy that last lottery ticket or to buy that to play that last hand, then you are a slave to that God, that idol. And so the gospel is being preached even now on this program. We've been on the air now on this program for a little over 7 years, completed our seventh year just recently in March. And we're trying to get the message out to our local community and surrounding areas, as well as through the website, Facebook, Internet. This is why we do it, to help fulfill the Great Commission until Jesus comes back. Scott, I got thinking about Easter just a couple of weeks ago now, soon to be 2 weeks ago, and everybody has a few visitors, you know, and some churches have a lot and some have a few, but mostly every church's attendance is up on Easter Sunday, the Resurrection Sunday, as some like to call it. Which is fine. That's exactly what it is. And I got thinking about people who visit occasionally. And then I got thinking about folks that don't really go to church, but they celebrate. But they celebrate for all the wrong reasons. You know, they buy the chocolate eggs and they hide them maybe for their kids or grandkids. They don't go to church now. Don't teach them anything about what all that means. We talked a little bit, last week, I guess it was, or maybe just before Easter Sunday about the tradition of Easter and why it's called Easter and all of those kinds of things. A lot of people celebrate it and a lot of money is made at Easter time. But a lot of people don't really understand what it's about. It kind of reminded me of the story of a Sunday school teacher at Easter time was asking her class of seven-year-olds, says, does anybody know what Easter means? And one little boy raised his hand. He said, yes, that's when all the family gets together and eats turkey and watches football. She said, no, honey, that's Thanksgiving. One little girl raised her hand. She said, Easter is when you come down the stairs and see all the presents under the tree. No, honey, that's Christmas. Teacher was really feeling discouraged. Finally, one little boy raised his hand, and he said, teacher, I know what it is. She thought, oh, boy, finally, he gets it. He said, it's when Jesus died and was buried. She said, oh, thank God, at least one of them's got it. And then the little boy continued, and he comes out of his grave, and if he sees his shadow, we have 6 more weeks of bad weather. Obviously, that's an exaggeration, but I think it makes a point. A lot of people don't understand that Jesus came and died and arose. By the way, he's the only world religion, if you want to style it that way. The only leader of a world religion that conquered death. that would be enough, I would think, to cause people to investigate the Lord Jesus Christ. Many celebrate Easter, but many will not validate the Easter story. We want pictures of our kids and grandkids. We want to look back on them in their Easter bonnets and those kinds of things, but we won't live out the Easter story. You know, a lot of folks, I fear, have put Easter in the category of the Great Pumpkin and the Easter Bunny. But Easter, more adequately, more correctly styled, the Lord's Day, Easter, Resurrection Sunday, the first day of the week, is more than just a story. Some churches even are guilty of this. They'll preach Jesus came back from the dead, but they only view it as a symbol. It's a symbol, the Easter principle, they like to call it, to keep hope alive and remember that bad things are going to get better, and they'll use the resurrection. But it's more than that. It's such so much more than that. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I've preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which you're saved. If you keep in memory the things I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Now, folks, if we don't believe that and live that out, he said how Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If we don't flesh that out, we can say we believe it, but we must live it. You know this. If you know anything at all about Christianity, you know I'm telling you the truth. And unfortunately, a lot of churches and a lot of people, a lot of Christians and a lot of leaders like to talk about it, but don't live it out. If we're going to say we're Christian and that we believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and that he defeated death, we've got to live it or we have no credibility. Did you know you can believe in Buddha? You can say, I'm a Buddhist, but you don't even have to believe that Buddha was a real person to be a Buddhist. But Christianity, my friends, hinges on an historical event, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Either it is a real event, or it's the biggest lie that's ever been propagated on the human race. One of the two, and I think it deserves investigation. 789-0318, 789-0318. That'll reach us here if you've got a question or a comment. We hope we answered the question about the good news being preached till the end comes all over the world. Hope we answered that to the satisfaction of the emailer. And if you've got a question, you want to send it by email, it's godpointofview@yahoo.com. 789-0318 is the number here at the station. 367-0137 is my number, my cellular device number, that we have actually viewing now. I won't be able to answer it now. You'll just have to leave because we've got it set up on the Facebook Live. You'll just have to leave a message and I'll be happy to call you back, a little bit later. May 2nd, this is National Prayer Day, isn't it, Scott? A lot of people will be assembled in Washington. There'll be speeches made and all kinds of big plans, big things. I've always wondered about, just wondering how much praying those folks do when they get off the TV.
Pray they get elected.
Pray they get elected. Oh, yeah, I'm sure that. Sure that's true. You know, we throw these things in because we believe that we ought to know what's going on. We have a worldview that teaches that God... and God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit are alive and that they are in charge of all of it. But we believe that it's helpful to know what's going on around us and apply biblical truths to those very things. I was reading this morning about another thing that May 2nd is known for. This happened on May 2nd, 1939. Loudspeakers at Yankee Stadium. Scott, I know you're a baseball fan. Yeah, loudspeakers at Yankee Stadium stunned the crowd with the announcement that New York first baseman Lou Gehrig would not be in the day's lineup. Now, Gehrig, everybody's heard of Lou Gehrig. He was a fan favorite. He compiled a lifetime batting average. Listen to this now. 340. Wow. 340. He slugged 493 home runs during his career. Included 23 grand slams. Averaged a staggering 147 RBIs per season. But his most amazing stat was his streak of 2,130 consecutive games played. 13 years he did that without missing a game. Now, on this particular day, he wasn't in the lineup. And he wasn't in the lineup because he was sick. He told his manager, he said, "I'm benching myself, coach, for the good of the team." Medical exams brought a bleak diagnosis. ALS, amyotrophic, I can't pronounce that word, lateral sclerosis. ALS we call it. I think we call it that because everybody has trouble saying that first word. It's a disease of the nervous system, I know that. And the chances of someone surviving for any length of time are slim. So on July 4th, 1939, Lou Gehrig stood on the field in a packed Yankee Stadium to say goodbye. There his friends were, his family's teammates, fans, first baseman stepped up to the microphone. And I've said all that now to say this. Listen to what he said. Quote, "For the past 2 weeks, you've been reading about the bad break I got. Yet today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of this earth." End quote. Is that the attitude most people have? I dare say not. Lou Gehrig knew he was going to die. And he died 2 years later of that disease. He's remembered, Scott, I know you probably know this, he's remembered as the what? The Iron Horse in baseball. Wow. But he said, "I consider myself to be the luckiest." Now, we don't believe in luck. People use the word luck, you know, to mean a lot of things. Good luck. Wish you good luck. I know what folks mean when they say that. But that attitude is priceless. Luckiest man on the face of the earth, Lou Gehrig, died. You know, every once in a while, Scott, 789-0318. Give us a call. We've got 3 or 4 minutes left here, looks like, on the old clock on the wall. Every once in a while, I get folks will ask me questions like this. "Preacher, I'm moving. Won't be here much longer. Just wonder if you could recommend a church for me in the area where I'm moving." Scott, you probably have talked to people about that same thing. And so I like this. Now, this might help you. If you're getting ready to move and you're looking for a church like the one you've got, and I'm assuming that the one you've got is a good church, a Bible-believing church, you want to find one like it. Here's what I suggest you do. Number one, check out their website to see what you can find out about them. Check out their doctrinal statement. Anything describing their mission, their vision, their values. If they've got any sermons online, check some of them out. Listen to some of the things they say, the pastor's speaking style. You'll get a feel for it to see if he's talking biblically or not. So check out their website. Number two, visit the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You know, Scott, I'm doing more on Facebook now than I ever did in my life since my retirement, and I've even begun to tweet. There was a time I wouldn't have said that. On Twitter. And I even have signed up for Instagram, but I don't know how to use it. So check out the church's Instagram, Facebook, all the, those things, and see what's going on. And number three, visit. Go to that church. In-person visits. And as you start thinking about those things that I just mentioned, their doctrinal statement, their mission, their vision, those kind of things, just make a decision. Is this the kind of church that I want to be a part of? I think that's sound advice. And I think if you'll do that, you'll probably end up finding a place, hopefully that'll be just like home. 789-0318, got about 30 seconds. We want to invite you to come to the Highland Church. I've told people over the years, come and see. That's what what Jesus told the disciples when they were following one day. They said, "Lord, where do you live? Master, where do you live?" He said, "Come and see." So we invite you to come and see. Services at 9:30, Sunday school, church service at 10:30. On Sundays, Sunday evening, we have something called life groups. We have a class for about every age group. Our young people go down into our Family Life Center, and they have a devotional, and then they play some sports or do a variety of of other things. Getting ready to have a big yard sale. The teen youth group is this Saturday. And last night they were busy getting all of that together. Wednesday nights we worship at 7, and we invite you to come and be a part. Come and check us out. If you want to stay, stay. If you don't want to, I tell folks sometimes the hinges on the door swing both ways. And we'll not be mad at you, we'll love you. Because there's a servant for every church and a church for every servant. We thank you for listening today to God's Point of View. Tune us in again next week, same time, same place. God bless.